Revelation 13, verse 8 is the text. The book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I want us to think this morning about one of the righteous Gentiles, one of the righteous among the nations. His name is Oscar Schindler. He was born on the 28th of April, 1908. He saved 1,200 Jews from the Holocaust, credited with saving the lives of 1,200 Jews. During the Holocaust, he employed them in his enamelware and ammunition factories in occupied Poland and the Czech Republic. Tonight we're going to think about what they called Schindler's Ark, because his factories, Oscar Schindler's factories, were called Arks, Schindler's Ark. You know how the Ark in the Bible, Noah's Ark, saved Noah and his family from certain death. Schindler's Ark during the Holocaust saved 1,200 Jews from certain death in the extermination camps. On the 8th of May 1962, Yad Vashem, Israel's official memorial to the victims of the Holocaust, invited Schindler to a ceremony in which a tree was planted in his honour on the Avenue of the Righteous. Oscar Schindler died on the 9th of October 1974. Penniless, I might add. He is buried in the Christian cemetery on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And the inscription on his grave reads, The unforgettable lifesaver of 1,200 persecuted Jews. If you were to go to Mount Zion today and to go to Schindler's grave, you would discover that his grave is covered with stones. Little stones cover his burial site. You know the reason for the stones? Because whenever the Jews were going to the gas chambers, the SS guards would hand each of the Jews a stone. Oh, they thought they were going for a shower, and they thought they were going to receive a bar of soap. But they got a stone instead of soap. And it began to dawn on them, we're not going for a shower. Water is not going to come out of the shower heads, but rather Zyklon B, poisonous gas. And this is the end. But whenever Oscar Schindler was buried in Jerusalem, his Jews, the Jews that he saved, they're known today as Schindler's Jews. They made their way to Mount Zion, each one with a stone, and they laid their stone on Schindler's grave. He had saved them from the gas chambers. That's the significance of the stones on Oscar Schindler's grave. He was named Righteous Among the Nations by the Israeli government in 1993. But what Oscar Schindler is most famous for is his list. His list. You see, folks, you possibly have seen the film Schindler's List. It's based on a book, Schindler's Ark, by an Australian author, Thomas Keneally, written in 1983, I think it was. But Steven Spielberg produced that blockbuster of a film, Schindler's List, starring Liam Neeson. A very intense film, if you've seen it. The ending stands out for me when Schindler, he takes his pen and he says, if only I had sold this pen, I could have paid for another Jew to work in my factory, I could have saved another life. He looks at his car, could have sold the car and saved Jews. I didn't do enough, I didn't save enough. And he broke down. Of course, one of the Jews that he saved presents him with the ring, with a quote from the Talmud, "He who saves one life saves the world entire." Schindler's List. You know, the real Oscar Schindler. Now, we're not talking about Liam Neeson. We're talking about the real Oscar Schindler. He had a list. It's true. And the list contained the names of 1,000 workers in his factories and 200 other Jews, a total of 1,200 names on a list that were saved from the gas chambers. You know, before we would talk about Schindler's List today, I suppose we really need to talk about another list. Did you ever hear of a man called Adolf Eichmann? Adolf Eichmann, one of the Nazis, high-ranking Nazi officer. In 1942, at the Wannsee Conference, as it was known in Berlin, he created a list. The list contained the numbers of all the Jews in Europe, 11 million. And at that conference, Eichmann and his cohorts, they planned the final solution to the Jewish question, the murder of Europe's Jews. The list. I want to tell you folks, today, Satan is a list. Oh, Eichmann's list was satanic. But I tell you, there's another satanic list. It's an awful list. Satan has a list today, and you know, on that list are the names of all the people who are not saved. We've read in Revelation 13, verse 8, the text. It speaks there of the names that are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Names that are not written in the Lamb's book of life. It's a long list today. It's a very long list. Because the reality is, folks, that most of the people on planet Earth are on that list. And sadly, most of the people on planet Earth will be still on that list when the trumpet sounds. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7 that there's few that find the narrow way. There's only few, it's only a minority of people in the world that find the narrow way to heaven and to home. Make sure you're on the narrow way. Make sure you're in the minority, not with the majority on the broad way. You do know that during the Second World War that there were what were known as death marches. Death marches. As 1945 drew near, January 1945, and the Russian army were closing in on Auschwitz to liberate it, the Nazis, the SS, they started to move the prisoners out of the camps, burn the camps. They wanted to obliterate all evidence of their crimes. And they started to march the Jews away from the camps. The death marches. It was weather like this, of course. The snow was on the ground. Imagine how awful it must have been for people who were already severely dehydrated, suffering from severe malnutrition, skin and bones, on the death marches. I want to say today that every person who's out of Christ is on a death march. They're on the broad road that leads to hell. Leads to the greatest holocaust of all. Because the word holocaust means, literally, it means burnt offering. That's where it actually comes from. It's a Hebrew word from the Old Testament. But it's to do with burning. Complete burning. I I pray that no one in the church today is on the devil's death march. If you are, it is time, high time, to get onto the narrow way and to begin your journey to heaven. And don't let anybody put you off. Don't look at the pastor, the board, anyone, any other Christian, and don't let them put you off. Because you do know, by the way, the pastor, the board, and all Christians are not perfect. They're just forgiven. But look to Jesus today, and you will be saved. And he will set your feet, he will place your feet on the narrow way, and you will be no longer part of a death march. Your name will be removed from the devil's list, and your name will be added to the book of life, to that wonderful list. Please make sure that it happens today. Please make sure that the Lord inscribes your name in the book of life. Call out to him, cry out to him today. You know the reason why? The reason why you need your name removed from Satan's list and placed on the Lord's list, the Lamb's book of life today? Because in Revelation 20 and 15 we're told, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What an awful end for the unconverted soul. That's the reason why we were out during the week with tracts around the doors. We covered Gorton, Rosslea, Duncastle Park. And I know that was just Brother John and myself. I know that others of you have been out as well. You've passed out tracts. Keep doing it, folks. Because we want people's names in the book of life. We don't want them in the lake of fire. We want them to be saved. Thank God it is possible for everyone's name to be written in the Lamb's book of life. Make sure your name is on that list. Schindler's list had 1,200 names. The list that the Lord Jesus has in glory has many more names than that. Oh, we thank God today for one of the righteous Gentiles, Oscar Schindler, who saved Jews, and there were many other righteous Gentiles as well. And their memory is precious. The memory of the just is blessed, Proverbs says. Thank God for them and for those they saved. But folks, we're here today to worship the one who provided salvation for a lost world. And he hasn't just saved 1,200 people. No, he has saved many more than that. You see, one day, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, that there will be a great number that no man can, a great multitude, I should say, a great multitude that no man could number, that will stand before the throne and before the Lamb. And they're in heaven, in New Jerusalem, because their names were on the list. Their names were in the book of life. The list. Oh, there was Eichmann's list. But because of a man called Schindler, 1,200 people from Eichmann's list were saved. Saved from certain death. You know, there was a cost for Oscar Schindler. A big cost, a big price that he had to pay in order to save the Jews. 4 million German marks, to be precise. 4 million German marks. That's what's estimated that he spent constructing his factories, accommodation for his workers to live in, medical care, food. You know, he even had to bribe the Nazi officers to save the Jews. He was out a lot of money. It cost him his fortune to save them. I said earlier that by the end of his life he was penniless, absolutely penniless and destitute. He had to depend on donations from the Jews he had saved after the war. Those Jews would send donations to Germany to Oskar Schindler so that he could survive himself. The ones that he saved made it possible for the ones that survived through him made it possible for him to survive himself. The cost. What about the cost to our Lord Jesus Christ to save you and me? You ever think about that? Back to our text. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb. You know that in Exodus chapter 12, you have the Passover lamb, the first ever Passover that took place. And in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3, we read, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls." It. You notice that it says it. It doesn't say, "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him, unto his house, take lambs, take them." No, it's take it. The idea is of just one lamb. It's pointing to the Lamb. Pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ who would appear on the banks of the Jordan and John the Baptist would cry, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The idea of the Lamb is of a little lambkin, a little weak newborn lamb. And the little lamb begins to grow. But it's still just a tender lamb. And the idea is of the priest in the temple, in the tabernacle. He takes the lamb. Or if you want to bring it into the home setting, and to go back to Exodus 12 and that first ever Passover. And you've got the father in the home there in Egypt. And you've got the mother and you've got the children. And the little children, they look on as daddy takes the knife and takes the little lamb. And we all know what happened next. Can you imagine the impression that it must have made upon the children to see the blood of the little lamb shed? And if it said nothing else to them, it said, "Oh, the cost of redemption. What an awful thing sin is, that the blood of the little lamb had to be shed." I want to tell you folks, sin is an awful thing, even though we mess about with it, we dabble in it and we play with it, and we don't realise how awful and dreadful it really is, but I want to say it is. It's an despicable thing. Because the blood of heaven's Lamb had to be shed in order that we might be saved from it. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The foundation of the world, that's creation. When God laid the foundation of the world, when creation took place, and who was it that created everything? It was the Lamb. It was the Lamb who was slain. The Creator became the Savior. The one who had made all things. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, the cost of salvation. And from the foundation of the world, from creation down through the pages of the Old Testament, you have picture after picture, symbol after symbol of the Messiah who would one day be nailed to a cross and crucified for us. And the cross has become the symbol of Christianity. Let me say it's an empty cross because he's risen. But hallelujah for the cross today. The cross, of course, was a symbol for the German church during the Second World War. You know, the Nazis used to go into churches and turn the crosses into swastikas. They would add pieces of wood to the cross. No longer a cross, it was a swastika. You know, the Nazis used to close churches. They used to ban the churches from meeting. Tried to impose their rules on the churches. Hitler even had his own church established in 1936. Replaced the Bible with Mein Kampf, Hitler's biography. It's all about control of the churches, you see. I spoke already about Protestant martyrs and missionaries who were murdered by the Nazis. That in itself alone is a reason to remember the Holocaust. Thank God today for those who took their stand. Those who stood up for the cross. Those who said with Paul, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The confessing church of the Second World War, of the confessing church in Germany during the Second World War. People like Pastor Martin Niemöller, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Protestant church in Germany, they took their stand. They suffered for it. But they're in the glory today. Their names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, folks, may God burn it into our souls today what it cost his only Son in order to provide salvation for us. We sing about it, don't we? God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost he offers free to all. Another hymn puts it like this. Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole, and teach me, Savior, teach me the value of a soul.